given me, that they may be one as we are one. I don't know how many times I unlined them all in this chapter, how many times God said he gave us to Christ. Look what he said in verse number 12. When I was, with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those who? That thou gavest me, I've kept. And none of them is lost but the son of perdition, that the scriptures might be fulfilled. And you know who that was. That was Judas. But you see how many times, looking one more time, verse number 24. Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast what? Known thee. But I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me. But he said they, many times God said he gave. Look back up in John chapter number 10. John chapter number 10, verse 27 said, my sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. And I gave them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, listen to this now, which gave them me, is greater than all. And no man's able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. So he'll tell you it's shouting ground to know. It's God's giving you unto the Redeemer. Yes. Our Lord Jesus Christ. He gave us to him. And thank God he's able to keep us. And I can testify he, when he said he wouldn't leave you forsake you, he meant that. He'll go with you. Now there's a verse in John chapter number 6 a couple want to read. And I'm on try to hush. Look in verse St. John chapter number 6, verse number 37. All that the Father, what does that say? Giveth me. This is Jesus talking. Shall what? Come to me. And him that cometh unto me, I'll nowise cast out. Thank God. All the Father, what? Giveth me. Part of them? All of them. Somebody said, can I come to Christ? Why don't you come see? Why don't you try it? God said, all the Father. I'm glad. He said, all shall come to me. Not just a certain class, not just a certain one. Not just one, not all of them, but one or two. Not all of them, but a few, but all. I asked Brother Jesse Norris one time, long time ago. I said, Brother Jesse, what's that verse mean over in Book of Acts? Can't remember exactly where it is now, but it said, as many as were ordained in eternal life believed. What it said. So if you're here this morning, you believe, you ought to shout and praise God that you's ordained. You ought to shout and praise God that you's called. You ought to shout and praise God that God drew you. You ought to shout and praise God that God has given you to Christ. Yes. Hallelujah. Yes. What a joy, what a blessing. Yes. Know we've been given to the Lord. But he said, they shall come to me. Now there's no life eternal. There's no hope except you come to Christ. That's the only way, only road, only hope, only way is come to Christ. And I like what he said, he that comes to me, I will in no wise cast out. Thank God for what a promise, what a hope. Hey, if you come to Christ, hey, aren't you so glad? You know, it may be a different time age that people come. But as sure as I'm standing behind this pulpit, I believe with all my heart, according to the scripture. If God's given you to Christ somewhere, sometime, some age, you're going to come. You said, why makes he believe that? Because that's what he said. That's a good promise, ain't it? Hallelujah. Now, my brother-in-law did a good job. So did Marshall's son yesterday at the funeral or memorial we had for Marshall's son, oldest son. Brother Ed was sharing how that none of us looking for God. We was all running from God. That's true. What made you come? I'll tell you what made you come. Look in verse 44 of this chapter and we'll try to hush. No man can come to me except the Father, which has sent me, draw him. And I will raise him up at the last day. Amen. Thank God he draws. Amen. You know why you're sitting here this morning? He's drawing. I'm glad he does. He had mercy on us. He called us. He chose us. He's drawing us. And he gave us. Amen, bro. Like a magnet. Amen. Like a magnet. I can't tell you what I can do. Started to say I couldn't tell you why I left my seat that night under that tent. But I felt a drawing like I've never felt in my whole life. It's a drawing power of his blessed spirit. Amen. And I'm glad that he'll draw us. I'm glad he's given us to the Father. The Father's given us to the Son. You see, Jesus didn't die in vain. He's going to have a people. He's got one. And it's a blessed, blessed hope and fact to praise God for if you're part of it. Amen. God gave us his Son. He gave us his Son. John 3:16, whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God gave us his Son, and God gave us to the Son, that we might have. And you know what I like what he said? He said we'd keep his word. You know what he said he'd do? He'd raise us up at the last day. Thank God for the resurrection power. Did you know why we go by these graves out here and have hope? Because Jesus got out of the grave. And he said, you've been given to me. I'm going to keep you. I've kept everyone. Judas, we know, was a what from the beginning? A devil from the beginning. But he said, I've kept them all while I was in this world. And he said, Father, keep those that you've given me. When he went back, he's still keeping us. And then one day, he'll raise us up. Coming back for us. That's right. We're going to hear that trumpet sound. We're going to hear it. Praise God. Brother Billy, you ready?
Good to be in this house. Good to be with you. Good to hear, Brother Ike. Voice is strong, a lot stronger than it was a couple weeks ago, brother. Thank God's giving you the green light.
Burning, burning, burning.
Amen. Well, sorry we missed last week. We did hear Brother Donnie's message on the website. And it's a real good word. We're praying for them as they're out and about, and we are thankful to the Lord and prayerful that God's going to minister and continue to minister to so many hurting hearts this morning. Amen. I know that your heart's heavy for Sister Jones' family and Brother Don's family. We want to pray God's going to minister to them in a mighty way. Get your Bible. Look with us to the 14th chapter of the book of Mark. Mark's Gospel, chapter 14. tell you that word Brother Ike was sharing, we'll just go on with it. Amen. We could go home with that and be fed and fine. Mark 14, we're going to look at a couple places here and read as Jesus shared in the 26th verse. Mark 14, 26, and when they had sung a hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives, and Jesus said unto them, all ye shall be offended because of me this night, for it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered. But after that I am risen, I will go before you into Galilee. But Peter said unto him, although all shall be offended, yet will not I. And Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, that this day, even in this night, before the cock crow twice, shalt thou deny me thrice. But he spake more vehemently, if I should die with thee, I will not deny thee in any wise. Likewise said they all. Let's go to God in prayer. Father, thank you for the reading of the passage. Now speak it real to our heart. God, anoint our ears to receive it. God, I pray that you would take, Lord, that we've heard today, God, through all of the services, and I pray that you would instill mighty power in thy people. And God, if there's one outside of saving grace, give them no rest, no peace, till they know you in the free pardon of sin. Do it, Father, and we'll give you praise. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen and amen. Amen. And so in this Lord's Supper, Last Supper, institution of the Lord's Supper, we see where Jesus is sharing very intimately with his. Now Judas is gone. Judas has departed. Judas is on another mission, isn't he? He's got somewhere else to go. He's got some other business to tend to. Yep. And so it's the Lord and his real disciples. That's his real disciples. Listen, Judas never pulled the wool over Jesus' eyes. Jesus knew back in Matthew chapter 10 when he anointed the 12. That's what the word said. He anointed the 12 and he sent them forth to preach. How many? 12. He knew that when Judas went out the door and dusted off his Bible to go preach, he knew that Judas was a devil. He knew that Judas did not have the goods. He knew that Judas was not one of his. He knew that. And so the Lord's not confused about the state of Judas. And so here, as he's dealing with the 11, Judas has went out and he's getting ready to betray the Son of Man. And Jesus is talking about some things that will shortly come to pass. And so imagine after supper, here they are lounging around a little bit with the Lord, and they're keying in. Maybe they're not quite as aware as they ought to be. But Peter heard something out of the lips of Jesus that kind of caught him the wrong way. He said that this night you all will be offended by me. And Peter said, whoa, Lord. Well, I can't talk about them other 10, but let me tell you about Brother Peter. Do we ever do that? We do stuff like that, and we began to tell the Lord how it can't be. Now, we never do that outwardly, but we do it on the inside. And here he said that these, what's going to happen? Peter said, although all shall be offended, everybody else may put their Bible down and leave. Everybody else might quit the service. I don't know what they're going to do. But he said, let me tell you about Peter. Although all shall be offended, verse number 29, yet will not I. And so if you want to leave the word will out, I don't want to leave it out. But he said, yet not I, not Peter. Nobody's in debate about what Peter said. I will not do it. And so that's dangerous ground, isn't it? And so we are, what are we to do? We're to be very careful. And we're not to be so vocal about what we know, because what we know is really not what we know anyway. And so Peter said, not I, I will not. And Jesus said, Peter, let me clarify something to you. He said, the cock will crow. Don't worry, the rooster will crow in the morning. He'll crow. But before he crows twice, Peter, you will have denied me three times. And no doubt Peter didn't like that very thought. And so here we find it. We know what happened.
He denied the Lord, not once, not twice, but three times, even as Jesus said. And of course, if we went over to Luke's gospel, we would see that. See, there's something about self-denial. And I'm going to talk about two different facets of denial. We all, as believers, are prone to deny the Lord. We can deny the Lord in the basic things, can't we? We can deny the Lord in public prayer over a meal. We can deny the Lord in the fact that we don't represent Him well among our friends or peers or in the workplace. We can deny the Lord by doing some of the most subtle things that nobody else would think anything about. But what does God say to us? To us, He says, "You are ashamed of me." And so we all have times when we may find ourselves ashamed of the Lord. Now, that's we're not confusing the fact of what 2 Timothy said. If you look forward there, here Paul talks about another denial of the Lord that we're not trying to confuse. And so as he talked about the believer's state, and of course Paul writing to young Timothy the preacher, he said there's something about this 2 Timothy 2 that we want to clarify. And so here, did Peter deny the Lord? Yes. Did he do it three times? Yes, he did. And so what happened? He went out and he wept bitterly. Thank God for that. Yeah. I'm glad that repentance is part of the believer's life. It's not, if the only time you and I repented was when God saved us, then we're in a poor spiritual state. Amen. Paul said, "I die high so." 1 Corinthians 15:10. He said, "I die daily." And so not only is death daily to the believer, but repentance is daily. You know why? Because oftentimes in our heart, denial is daily. Here Paul's talking about and clarifying the difference. 1 Timothy 2:12. Wherein, verse 9, I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds. But the word of God's not bound. Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. And so is that confusing the matter? No, we're not talking about an eternal denial of the Lord Jesus Christ. When we're saved with the marvelous grace of God and we identify with the body of Christ, then we are his. The thing Brother Ike is preaching is so true in our hearts. God gave us to Christ. We belong to him. But here we find that there's two facets of denial. It's the believer's denial when God deals with him, corrects him, and straightens him out. He'll weep, he'll repent, and he'll get back in the way. Amen. That's not to be confused with what wicked sinners do. Hardened sinners that will not receive Christ. Paul said if they deny him, he also will deny them. Yeah. Well, that's very true to Matthew 10:32-33. That's what Jesus is talking about when he said, if you confess me before men, I'll confess you before the Father. If you deny me before men, I'll deny you before the Father. And so what would happen? I know what would happen. If we didn't clear that up, you know what would happen? We would have a defeat in our spiritual walk, and the devil would take that and he'd try to browbeat the believer with it. But the believer's not to be browbeated, and that's why God clears us up in his word and separates the difference. And Peter didn't lose his salvation. Peter wasn't waiting to the next meeting when he would repent and get right with God again. No, Peter got right with God that day. And so listen, there's no such thing as I lost my salvation and maybe we'll have a revival in the summer and I can find it. No. The believer's denial may be daily, but his repentance is daily too. You know why? Because he cannot. I remember something happened when I was a youngster and how the conscience works and conviction works. And how many of you, you were young people and you were doing the wrong thing. And I remember, don't try this at home, but me and my neighbor down the road, Jeffrey Collins. Oh, Jeffrey got me into a lot of stuff. And so maybe I got Jeffrey into a lot of stuff. I don't know which way that worked. But me and Jeffrey found an old can. We lived on the dirt road, country living. Don't you like country living? And I was about 7 or 8. And so we'd find that old can and we'd kick it and cuss it, kick it and cuss it. And so we'd do that. You know what happened? Just an 8-year-old boy. And so them old, where I was hearing them old words, got a pretty good idea. And so here, kicking it and cussing. I mean, God got to deal with my heart, my conscience, you know. And just to where I was about to bust. And so one evening I remember, boy, God broke that thing just like a fountain of water. He broke it off and I had to go. And I remember telling my dad, I said, "Woo, I got to get this straight and get this out in the open." You know why? Conscience, conscience, conscience. Well, if a carnal young man who knows nothing about Christ has a conscience, how much more so a believer whom the Spirit of God dwells in, how much more does that conscience work? It works. And so we see it here. Now go backward. I want you to see something about this. It's denial we're talking about. It's denying oneself. Go over to 2 Samuel, the 6th chapter, and let's talk about David for a little while. 2 Samuel, the 6th chapter. David, although we know he's the man after God's own heart, he's the faithful servant, he's the young lad that took Goliath out, he's the one that could not sit idly by and allow some overgrown moron to defy and deny his Lord. No. And so he even chided those men, those great armored men of the camp of Israel. What are you doing? Didn't you hear what he said? He's defying God and saying God can't get it done. And David went out, 5 smooth brooks, smooth stones out of the brook. And so he's got them in his shepherd's bag. And he's got 2 things, brother, in the flesh. He's got a shepherd's bag and a sling. But he's got something on the inside that these men know very little about, not quite enough. And so he said, "You come to me with a shield and a sword, but I come to you in the name of the Lord." And he slung it, and the word said that the stone sunk in his forehead. Yeah. And David come back with 2 things in his hand, the head of a giant and the giant's spear. That spear hung around, didn't it? Remember when he came to the house of God at Ahimelech's place, when he fled from Saul, and he said, "Is there anything to eat?" He said, "There's the showbread. There's the showbread." He said, "We've not come at the women, and we've clean." He said, "Give it to us. We'll take the showbread. And what else do you have?" He said, "Well, we've got Goliath's spear, whom you slew." And he said, "I'll take it." And Doeg the Edomite was listening around the corner, and he ran and told Saul. And it cost Ahimelech his life. Remember that? It cost him his life. The priest was slain for giving that to David. But let's go forward to David here. Saul's gone. God's done with him. He's parked him. And we find it that David is made king in Hebron. And God has brought him to Jerusalem. And you're waiting on me in the book of Samuel. And here you see this in 2 Samuel in the 6th chapter. Let me get back there. Hold steady. Watch now. Again, David gathered together all the chosen men of Israel, 30,000. Pay attention to the words. And David arose and went with all the people that were with him from Baal of Judah to bring up thence the ark of God, whose name is called by the name of the Lord of hosts that dwelleth between the cherubims. And they set the ark of God upon a new cart. And they brought it out of the house of Abinadab. That was in Gibeah and Uzzah, or Uzzah, however you want to pronounce that. And Ahio. Sounds like Ohio, but it's Ahio. And the son of Abinadab drave the new cart. There ought to be red flags going off in the believer's heart everywhere out of what we just read. And see it, they brought it out of the house of Abinadab, which was at Gibeah, accompanying the ark of God. And Ahio went before the ark. And David and all the house of Israel played before the Lord on all manner of instruments, made of fir wood, even of harps, on harps and on psalteries and on timbrels and on cornets and on cymbals. What a band. And when they came to Nacon's threshing floor, Uzzah put forth his hand to the ark of God, and he took hold of it, for the oxen shook it, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against Uzzah, and God smote him there for his error, and there he died by the ark of God. Watch this. And David was displeased. He was displeased, the word said, because the Lord made a breach upon Uzzah. And he called the name of the place Perez, Uzzah, to this day. And David was afraid of the Lord that day and said, how shall the ark of the Lord come to me? So David would not remove the ark of the Lord unto him into the city of David, but he carried it aside to the house of Obed-Edom, the Gittite, and the ark of the Lord continued to the house of Obed-Edom, the Gittite, 3 months, and the Lord blessed Obed-Edom and all his household. Now, I like that story. I like it lots better than Uzzah did, because Uzzah died. And there's a couple more deaths we can chalk up to David besides this infant son that did not live, whom Bathsheba brought forth. We also can chalk this up to David too, can't we? Because Uzzah thought he was doing the right thing. And David, of course, probably thought he was doing the right thing. And so it's time to bring the house of God. Now, there's lots of celebration. You saw that in the music. Lots of celebration going on. Lots of instruments, lots of playing, lots of worshiping. I even believe there's lots of worshiping. But David has missed something that Peter found out. And Peter found this out where we read back in the 14th chapter of the book of Mark, that there's something about denial. And we're not talking about denying the Lord and the whole matter of the cock crowing three times, but in here the denial three times and the cock crow twice. We're not confusing that. But there's something about this we must see. And Jesus dealt with it in Mark chapter 8. And we're not going to turn there for the sake of time, but he dealt with something in Mark the 8th chapter. And it sounded like this, that whosoever shall save his life shall... Oh, he'll lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life shall, he'll save it. See, he dealt with that in Mark 8:34-35. I want you to fast forward a little bit over to 1 Chronicles. Go to 1 Chronicles and let's see this in the 15th chapter. See, Peter had to find out that there's something about self-denial. We don't tell the Lord what we will do. Brother Larry, if Jesus tells me I will commit three errors by daybreak, if I've got half the sense I ought to have, I'll agree with him. For starters, Jesus never said nothing wrong, Peter. See, Peter is the one that said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Out of his own mouth is where those words come from. When he said that in Matthew 16:18, or 17 rather, he said, no, we're not talking about those, Peter, but who do you say that I, the Son of Man, am? And we said, Peter had the right answer, and he did, didn't he? He said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. I know who you are. And so he was right. And then this whole transfigured experience happened in Matthew 17, the next chapter. Peter witnessed that. He saw that. He watched those three men. He watched their raiment. He watched their transformation. He watched them glistening as the noonday sun. He saw it. He was on his face. He said, it's good to be here. It's a good spot to build three tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, one for Elias. He witnessed all that. But somehow or another, this is where we are. We're not preaching what Peter ought to have done better. Let's talk about what we ought to do better. Peter, when Jesus told, I'm not alarmed that Peter denied the Lord. I'm alarmed at how do you get to a place you'll argue with God. Jesus told him, Peter, this night before the day breaks and the cock crows twice, you, sir, three times. He said, out of the pride of his heart, not me, Lord. Can't dare be me. You must be thinking about Judas. You know, he's already exited the building. Must be thinking about him. And here we find it, David in his greatest victories. There's something about this. It's something about this. We find it all through the life of the kings. When God begins to prosper us. And they say, no, preaching about David and Peter and all these guys, they gone, brother. They done cashed in, checked out. They have, they've got it done. We're talking about us. What happens when God begins to prosper? How many times do we see this in the life of the kings? When God prospers them, what happens? There begins to become some demise in their life. There seems to be a going downhill, spiritually speaking. And I'm not saying that David intentionally or David mistakenly. I don't know what was in David's heart when he called for somebody to bring a new cart. But God's way was not a new cart. God's way is not a new religion. Amen. God's way is not a new message. God's way is not a new church. I'm talking about some church, some pseudo church that's going to get the job done. He said, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So Jesus is not looking for a new church. He's not looking for a new way. And he dead sure wasn't looking for a new cart. Now this is what happens. This is where mistakes come in the believer's life. We're all prone to this. We've already admitted it. We all deny the Lord on some basis, sometimes. And God has to take us and dust our diaper off and get us in the right way. That has to happen. And so if there's no correction, if there's no reproof, there's no legitimacy. Remember that? Hebrews 12. There's no sonship. And so I love the sonship analogy of who we are to Christ. We're all the sons and daughters of the Lord. And here we find in the 15th chapter of 1 Chronicles that David is about to find out the error of his way. Now, I don't know who he went to. I don't know if he went back to the priest. I don't know if he got the word of God down. I don't know if he went to the ark. Remember what's in the ark, don't you? What's in the ark? There's two tables of stone in there, and there's Aaron's rod that budded. Remember that almond rod is there. And so there's a pot. Bless God, there's a manna pot in the ark. And that manna pot is right there. God said, keep the manna pot and keep the almond rod and take those two tables of stone and put them in it. And so maybe David went back and looked in the ark by the high priest. I don't know. I'm telling you, I don't know what happened, but I know somewhere David's so sore displeased. Church, I want to tell you, sin ought to so sore displease us. It ought to break our heart like it breaks the heart of God. David is sore. And somebody told him that the ark of God, you know where we left it? That was a short-lived trip, brother. I don't know how far it is from Gibeah to Jerusalem. But that is a short-lived trip. Why? Because Uzzah's dead. We got to stop and do something about Uzzah. And it stopped the procession. And that procession has changed into another procession. And so where did they leave it? At the house of Obed-Edom. I see it all the time. Now the ark stayed at the house of Obed-Edom for 3 months. And I promise you that was the finest 3 months of Obed-Edom's life. Brother, God blessed, and I'm talking about what the Word said, God blessed all the house of Obed-Edom. Why so? Because the presence of God's there. His power's there. His ark's there. I'm telling you, the Shekinah glory's at Obed-Edom's house. Church, that's where the blessings are. It's not seeing if we can live out on the fringe. It's not seeing how much we can get away with. It's staying with the presence of God. And Obed-Edom's house is blessed. I would imagine there's disappointment when they came to get the ark. And Obed-Edom said, can't you leave it another 30 days? Me and my wife get along better. Children act better. Hey, the sheep even having twin calves. Cows, grass is deeper. The streams flow. Everything's great when the presence of God's there. Everything's good. And so it's harmony everywhere. God blessed his house. And David heard about it and he said, well, we better go get it. Watch now. He made him houses in the city of David, chapter 15. And the word said he prepared a place for the ark of God and pitched for it a tent. And David said, now where did he get this?
None.
How many? None. Ought to carry the ark of God but the Levites. You know what we say? We say, preacher, if God loves me, he'll let me get by. You think he loves you better than he loved David? David's a man after his own heart. David's a lad of a boy that he raised. David's the one he's empowered to kill the bear with his bare hands. He's the one that God's empowered to kill the lion. Yeah. You think he's worried about Goliath? He said, listen, boys, me and God's had some experiences on the backside. I can tell you about the bear. I can tell you about the lion. I ain't worried about Goliath. God loved him and he loved God. We know he loved him. And the word said this. He said, none but the Levites ought to carry the ark. But we say, I love God. He loves me. He'll let me do it. He'll let me by, but he won't. He won't. You know why he won't? Because he loves you. Yeah, that's why he won't. You'll oftentimes say, if you loved them, you'd let them do that. But I won't let them do that because I do love them. That's what God says. Here, none but the Levites. Well, that hadn't changed, has it? I think it was that way when he put it on a new cart. Yeah. Yeah. Remember? Listen, Kohath. Those Kohathites were the one that's going to bear the Levite. And how are they going to bear it? They're going to put some long poles through it that's overlaid with gold. And they're going to go through the four rings of the ark on each corner of the ark. And so they are carrying it upon their shoulder. And wherever it's going, the Kohathites are carrying the ark. And not the Merarites. No, not them. Who? God said specifically, the Kohathites carry the ark. And so they got the ark, brother. Now them others can tote the curtains and the tents and the holy things and all. They can do all that. God's got a plan. The Levites, particularly the Kohathites, carry the ark. And hear what happened. For them hath the Lord chosen to carry and to minister unto him forever. And David gathered all Israel together to Jerusalem to bring up the ark of the Lord. Now don't tell me, don't ask me, I don't know, and I can't tell you where this new ark, new cart idea come from. But it sounds very similar, Brother Raymond, to what goes on today in the modern church world. We got better ideas, bigger plans. Listen, this whole Bible thing's getting a little archaic. And maybe we know better than God. And so we've got new cart religion, and he will not bless it. No, his presence won't be there. His power won't be there. You know what it brings forth? They might be a lot of music around it.
Yeah.
They might be a lot of hoopla and rejoicing and dancing and tongue talking. Might be lots of that. Might be lots of it. But God's not going to bless it. And it will. Mark this down. Write it in your Bible in the margin somewhere. New cart religion always brings death. That's not changed. God said it's the Levites and the Levites alone. What's that say? We can't change God's plan. We can't change his way. We can't change his word. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled. Where did God settle it? He settled it in heaven, the 119th Psalm said in the 89th verse. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled. It's settled. God said it so. And David has found the word of God. And he found the Levites. And he found God's way. And he's reconsidered this thing. And the word said, watch now, go down, fast forward, into the 11th verse. And David called for Zadok and Abiathar the priest, and for the Levites, for Uriel, Hosea, Joel, Shemaiah, Eliud, and Aminadab, and said unto them, ye are the chief of the fathers of the Levites, sanctify yourselves before ye and your brethren. Oh, there must be some sanctification in the service of the Lord.
Yes.
Now, clarify. Does that affect those that listen? No. No. There's no sanctification requirement for listening. There's no sanctification requirement for coming and hearing the word of God. Matter of fact, wouldn't each one of us would be filled if the rooms overflowed and people raised the windows and hung their ear in to hear the word of God. That is so outside of His way. Yes, that'd be a blessing.
Amen.
But we're talking about ministering. Service.
Right.
That's what He said. Ye are the chief of the fathers of the Levites. Brother, here's where it needs to go back to. Those in the ministry, sanctify yourselves, both ye and your brethren, that ye may bring up the ark of the Lord God of Israel. For because ye did it not at the first, the Lord our God made a breach. Do you see it?
That's right.
David said, I've recognized the problem. Number one, I left the word of God, and I had a new cart brainstorm that God would not pay attention to. Number two, the servants of the Lord were not sanctified. So the priests and the Levites, verse 14, they sanctified themselves to bring up the ark of the Lord God of Israel. And the children of the Levites bear the ark of God upon their shoulders with the staves thereon, as Moses commanded according to the word of the Lord. See, I'm telling you, God's smiling. God's smiling. God is happy when people are obeying His word. And you know what happens, brother, here, as the writer recites it, and David spake to the chief of the Levites to appoint their brethren to be the singers. God's not against instruments of music. He loves them. He loves them. But He loves them when they're singing praises to Him. How so? As Moses commanded according to the word of the Lord. God's way. God's music. God's time. By the lifting up the voice with joy. So the Levites appointed Hermer, the son of Joel, and of his brethren, Asaph. Asaph, God gave him some psalms. Remember that? And the sons of Merari, their brethren, Ethan, the sons of Kishiah. And with them, the brethren, on and on and on. Follow down a little bit here. And you'll see this in the 25th verse. So David and the elders of Israel and the captains over thousands went to bring up the ark of the covenant of the Lord out of the house of Obed-Edom with joy. Now, say something about that we need to stop and grab, and we're closing down here. But I pray to God you get this. We can do the right thing in the wrong way if we don't do it with joy.
Amen.
How do they come forth? With joy.
Yes.
The joy of the believer. Jesus paid special attention. Matter of fact, He said something about it in John 15:11. These things I speak unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be where? Full. Fullness of joy. See, it's something about joy. Where there's joy in the church, bless God, there's something happening. When there's real joy in the believer's life, it's getting done for God. And here they came forth with joy. I think it's a special joy. I think it's not to be confused with that noise they had the first time.
Yeah.
That first time they had a new cart. They had a new cart religion. Had some new ideas.
Yeah.
Probably even had some new kind of singing.
Yeah.
Are you listening?
Yeah.
But here, the word said they came with joy, and it came to pass when God helped the Levites. Oh, God's helping them now.
Yeah.
He's not hindering them. Thank God He's helping them. If there's one thing we need, it's the help of the Lord. The psalmist said, I will lift up mine eyes into the hills from which cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord which made heaven and earth. And here, God's helping them now. We have to have the help of God, but we only get the help of God when we obey God. And we do it God's way, in God's time, by God's demand. See, He won't bless anything else. You say, I'll go this way. You can go, but you can't have the blessing of God. When they went that way, the blessing stayed with Obed-Edom. But now, we got the word of God out. Sometimes, the believer, this one included, has to get the word of God out and do what God gave Isaiah and Jeremiah.
Yeah.
Consider your ways.
Yeah.
Sometimes the problem is, Brother Buford, our ways has been mingled and diluted to the point by this world, by the things around us, by our own carnality. They're not God's ways. And here the writer said, consider your ways. Last thing I want you to see. And the word said, when God helped the Levites that bear the ark. See, we don't need a new cart. We need the help of God. You said, preacher, them Levites sure get tired. You know what we do in our own carnal thinking? We begin to rationalize why God needs our help. And we just need a new cart. If we just had a new cart, the new cart's not the answer. Right. The new cart took Uzziah's life. The new cart will diminish the power of God and the presence of God from us. If we want God to show up when we pray, and show up when we preach, and show up when we sing, we have to do it His way.
Amen.
And He'll help us. He helped those Levites. Well, I believe them Levites is going along there. And about the time we're in the strikes in, somebody hits a tune. And bless God, what a spring in their step. You know why? Because God helped. I believe they's high-stepping Levites.
Yeah.
Hey, you watching basketball players, you know what happens when the legs leave? They start short iron. They'll short iron it. Oh, yeah, they was hitting them threes in the first half, and now they can't hit them. Why? Because they're short iron. And so what happens? The leg's gone, leg's gone. Them Levites, about the time the leg's gone, God helps them. Hallelujah. And there's a spring back in the step, just like the believer that's refreshed by the Spirit of God. And the Word said it. David was clothed with a robe of fine linen. See, his things even affected David now. And the Levites bear the ark. And 28 said, thus all Israel brought up the ark of the covenant of the Lord with shouting. Watch that. Shouting don't just belong down at the ball field, does it?
Amen.
Shouting just don't belong to the world. Shouting just don't belong to the great orations of those heathen kings on the other side of the big pond. Shouting just does not belong to those at the arenas. And so what do? They'll raise the roof. But here, God said, what happened? Shouting. The shout came back. The joy came back. And the sound of the cornet with trumpets and cymbals making a noise with psalteries and harps. And it came to pass as the ark came to the city of David that Michael, the daughter of Saul, looking out a window, saw King David dancing and playing. And you know, we don't have time for that story. It may not be a good day for it anyway. But she despised David in her heart. And that displeased God. Sometimes your shout will hinder the others. Sometimes it's not well received. But bless God, we're to shout anyway. Those inhabitants of Jericho were not blessed. They were not blessed when the children of Israel shouted. But God said, shout. March it seven times on the seventh day. And when they blow that trumpet of the ram's horn, what are you going to do? We're going to shout.
Yes.
I don't think they were shouting for a three-point play. And those on the inside sure wasn't shouting. If you're waiting for those that don't love the Lord to receive your rejoicing, I'm not talking about casting your pearls before swine. I'm talking about simply worshiping the Lord in the beauty of wholeness when He leads you where He leads you. And don't let others, if Michael would have had her way, she'd have stole David's joy. She thought he was trying to entertain the girls, the onlookers. But he said, let me tell you, it was before the Lord. It was before Him. It's what God's done today. And I think this is where we'll find ourselves as we stand. And sis comes, Brother Rick's coming. I think this is where we'll find ourselves.
Yep.
If we'll go back to His way,
His power, His presence, His commands. You know, where is it? Sometimes we as believers wake up and we say, how did I find myself in this case? How did I get here? How did this happen to me? I know what the Word of God said. I was taught the Word of God. No doubt Jesse covered this somewhere back down the road. David spent time with God. He knew God wasn't interested in a better way. There is no better way.
Amen.
There's no better way. And I think this is something that the devil would deceive us with.
Yeah.
There's no better way than God's way, church.
Amen.
You said, preacher, it's old as the hills. It's old fashioned.
That's all right.
Amen.
It's God's way, and it's the only way He's going to bless. Hey, it's the old past that's not changed. Jeremiah said it in the 6th chapter, the 16th verse. Seek ye the past, the old past, the old past. Seek ye His way, the old past, and do what? Walk therein. It's the old past. It's the only ones God's going to bless. And you know what's going to happen? It's the only one that's going to help sinners. We're not going to be able to win our people if we leave God's way. New cart religion ain't going to win them. You say they won't take it. They won't take it straight. They'll have to take it straight. When God's Spirit gets on them, like Brother Ike's preaching,
yes, sir,
they'll take it straight.
Yes, sir.
They'll take it. But the Spirit of God's what's going to conquer that old heart.
Yes, sir.
David found it to be so. As we sing.
What a word. Thank you, brother.
335 in the blue. 335.